Hey, this is Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. On today's show, I'm recapping Cavs 76ers and talking about the Cavs season as a whole with Evan Damerill from Fear the Sword and Forbes. If you missed it, the Cavs lost to the 76ers 98-77 on Tuesday in Philadelphia, wrapping up that road trip. They'll be home again Thursday at 6 p.m. against the Miami Heat as part of a pretty interesting Cleveland sports day, the Browns playing the Steelers later that evening at home. So a pretty busy night downtown in Cleveland Thursday. Expected to be a lively atmosphere downtown in my favorite city in the world. But without further ado, let's get into today's episode of Locked On Cavaliers.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Cavs. Joining me, Evan Damerill from Forbes, from Fear the Sword. Evan, what's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot. It's really cold in Northeast Ohio, but it was a pretty hot game in Philadelphia for the Cavs tonight.
look at you, just bringing the transitions right off the top here. It is very cold in Cleveland. I was not ready for the snow. I mean, I'm a pro-snow human being, but it came
what
quick.
What is wrong with you?
I like cold. I like hoodie weather. I like sweaters. I like sleeping under like four blankets and being very warm. That's like my ideal.
Chris, this is more than sweater weather at this point. It's 20 degrees outside.
And, yeah, it's not really what you want. But you know, day one of it, we'll see. But you're right. The Cavs put up kind of a hot performance against Philly. They end up losing this game 98-97. Leading the way for them is Kevin Love with 20 points. Jordan Clarkson has 20 points off the bench. Tristan Thompson with 17 and 12. Colin Sexton with 18. Darius Garland with 6. Jetty Osman with 4. And then you have Kevin Porter Jr., Deli, and Larry Nance all adding 4 as well. Nance also did have 10 rebounds off the bench. Evan, I wanted to start with the end of this game. Cavs don't score for about the last 3 minutes. But at the end of the game, they get this really, really nice look where they inbounds the ball with, like, I think 12 seconds to go. Jordan Clarkson gets the ball. They wait a second. They run kind of a pick and pop with him and Kevin. Kevin gets the ball, pump fakes Ben Simmons, gets an open three, and just pushes it long. That's kind of the game at that point. I don't think, even though Kevin misses that shot, everything considered, I think that last possession for the Cavs, I think you basically kind of live with that. And I think overall it was just like a kind of a competent cap on what was, you know, a kind of an up and down night in some regards, considering the highs that they hit. But, you know, I don't think that was like a bad way for them to go out. I don't think they botched that by any stretch of the imagination.
No. All points considered, when I saw Ben Simmons was active tonight, I was just kind of saying, like, you know what? It was a good road trip. It just chalk this one up as a loss. Hopefully it's not too bad. But like you said, the Cavs are in this till the very, very end. And it wasn't even a bad look or a bad possession to end the game. It doesn't look like they threw up all over themselves to finish it out. So I'll gladly take it. It's something to build off of and definitely something to learn from. It's for sure refreshing to see the Cavs, for the most part, barring the first game. Was it Oklahoma City they got blown out to?
Yeah, I
no.
think so.
Yeah, okay. Not Oklahoma City. Either way,
who knows? Time's not real.
Seasonal depression's kicking in. Other than that, like, every game for the Cavs have been down to the wire close enough that, like, that alone is refreshing. And like you said, it was a good possession to end the game. It's just bad luck it didn't go in.
Yeah, I think they'll probably want back the defensive possession that kind of cost them the game. You know, I don't know what you're supposed to do there. Like, I thought, considering I haven't gone back and watched this yet, so I'm not going to say, like, I have this down, like, exactly. So if I get something wrong, like, whatever. Colin Sexton gets screened. He gets, like it's a hard, good screen by Joel Embiid. He gets through it. He recovers. The Cavs kind of end up showing a little bit, but Embiid basically just gets to roll right to the rim, and then he dunks, and that's the game winner of this game. I'm going to look up and see who got the assist on that just to make sure I know who had it. It was Richardson. Okay, so it's Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris gets the ball after Sexton comes back up and recovers, and he just finds an open Embiid and he dunks. And that to me is a, like, you're gonna live with that because Philly kind of is built to do some of that stuff. That's just really good execution on their part. I mean, not like ideal considering I thought the Cavs did do some really good defensive stuff in this game, at least putting up a fight and playing with effort. and that is kind of an easy way for you to kind of go out there. But I don't know if I'm even like, if I'm them, I'm feeling too bad about how that played out.
Yeah, like you said, it's like you point out, like, I guess because I was taking notes during the game. We were riffing before we started recording, saying, like, we're going to talk about the good and the bad. Well, it was a fun game, so let's just not poo-poo on it too hard. But, like, one of my bad things was just, like, those small defensive miscues are still popping up, but you got to kind of take those with young teams like this. And I'm fine with it, considering that the Cavs only lost by a point in this game. But definitely it was just, like, a little disheartening. But like you said, Philly's kind of designed to do stuff like that to begin with. So it's just the nature of the beast of playing arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference. So,
yeah, I mean, this is like a potential finals team, and you just look at how they hung for most of this game. I don't like know how much I believe in moral victories, but if you just look at the guys that played a bunch of minutes in this game, so Jetty Osman is in year three, Colin Sexton is in year two, Darius Garland is in year one, Kevin Porter Jr. is in year one. Those are four core guys you hope so going forward. Those guys all play. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. only plays 16 minutes, but Garland, Sexton, Osman all play 28 or above. These are guys that are getting real minutes. And except for Garland being on the bench down the stretch, every one of these guys is on the floor when this game really matters. That even if they lose this game, I think even if you look at this loss and say, okay, like there's stuff they could have done better. You know, the offense, I think, really didn't look good the last 3 minutes. Just looked a little, everything looked a little bit out of control. Lost some of the tempo and some of the flow we'd seen it have earlier in this game. I think like those guys will learn something from that. You'll be able to look at the tape. You'll be able to kind of break some of it down. You'll be able to kind of see what went wrong. And it gets them like really a really good just experience, because if you look at how Philly handled that game, it wasn't as if like they were coasting through the end of that game. Like once it got close late, you could feel like that they were like, okay, like we need to like win this one. We're getting put through the ringer a little bit here. That's like a really positive thing for us to be looking and seeing this Cavs team doing in November. I can just like say, I feel very confident in saying this. The Cavs of last year, even at this point, were not going to do this. No. Colin Sexton certainly was going to have his moments where he really was going to go at guys and try to do stuff and make an impact. That, in terms of them doing a game like this, I don't know if they had that in there as a team last year.
No, I'm trying to think. What do you think around this time is when Ty Lue got the axe, or was it soon after this?
Ty Lue, I think, had already been fired at this point.
Okay, so Larry Drew is definitely asleep at the wheel at this point.
Larry Drew is just like, I'm going to get everyone through this. I think this is before he's like, I don't know if I ever want to coach again because this is so bad.
I just remember when I got that headline, boy, that Cavs team was something last year.
What a trip.
It wasn't a rebuild, though. I guess another note.
Good times.
Yeah. I guess another note I do have, though, is it's like it's super refreshing that the Cavs just all their young guys played meaningful minutes and they had contributions. Guys on expiring deals, wink wink, played meaningful minutes and put up some good numbers on the box score. But I think the real blessing in disguise here is the fact that Philly went 8 of 38 from 3-point range and Tobias Harris went 0 for 11. So that's something else I noted is just Philly was trigger happy from beyond the arc, but they weren't making their shots. And I think the Cavs can kind of count their blessings and take it while they can. But hey, maybe it's that JB Bickerstaff defense just, you know, clamping down on the perimeter. LOL. But it's just,
I mean, they at least like do better. They're like more competent. Like that just, yeah, like to some degree, like they're just like know what they're doing, it seems like.
No, I totally agree. And like, I'll admit during media day when Bayline was talking to us about how he's preaching, like, we're going to drill the fundamentals and we're going to make Cavaliers basketball like a fundamentally sound team. And we lasered a stripe on the ball. I almost detached my retinas when I started rolling my eyes. I'm thinking, I'm like, none of the veterans are going to buy. Like, sure, like, you'll get the kids' attention for a little bit, but, like, you got Kevin, Tristan, Jordan, Deli, Nance, and Knight. Like, they're going to just tune you out after a while, man, and more power to you. But it's just, it's a different vibe this year for sure. Like, you just get with the team, and you and I were both there for the home opener, and we noticed, like, just like the overall mood in the locker room is different. Somebody from the Cavs front office like pulled me aside and just said like, oh, hey, thanks for coming out. I'm like, oh yeah, no, it was thanks for having me, blah, blah, blah. And just like, I said, like, it's just, it's a good feeling you guys have going here. And he's like, yeah, the vibe's just a lot different compared to last year. And like, if somebody in the team admits that to you, you know, there's something right going on. And that's what I started believing. Okay, maybe this whole Bayline Ball thing and maybe this whole college approach to an NBA level hoops, maybe there is a little something to it.
Yeah, I think where I really buy it is just the effort we're seeing. Just sort of, I think Beeline's doing a really, really good job coaching this group. I think just the energy everyone's playing with, especially guys like Tristan, guys like Kevin Love, even I think Jordan Clarkson, who we'll get to, had a really, really good game tonight, and he's just kind of been a good kind of player in all of this. I think, and like, just again, we're going to see if this persists. If they go on like a 7-8 game, like, we have not seen the Cavs go through like a very long losing streak or have to go through like a long, tough road trip yet. Those are things that when they get punched in the face, that's when we're really going to kind of know how much of this is going to be real. But all the signs are good right now. I don't think, again, this is a lot better than last year. I think last year, and also at the post-championship stuff, LeBron leaves. Kevin's not even healthy at the start of the season. There's just like a lot of weird stuff with last year that doesn't exist this year. And I think, you know, I think Ty's a great coach. I don't think he was necessarily the looking back and looking what he wants and looking what the organization definitely wanted at that point. It clearly wasn't going to be, you know, what the best thing for Ty Lue last year, the kind of situation he worked into. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back to talk more about Cavs Sixers and the season overall. Just so people know, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. And also Audible, in case you want to support a great sponsor of this show and the whole Lockdown Network. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. You can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial today. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. We'll be right back. All right, Evan. For me, I'll say this. I have like co-players of the game. When I take my notes, I usually like kind of at the bottom, kind of write down guys that played better than I thought, just to kind of keep track when I go back and look at these things. And two guys I did not think that were going to play well, that I think mostly played well in this one, are Tristan Thompson and Jordan Clarkson. Again, Tristan Thompson, 17 points, 12 boards, hits two threes. As you so elegantly tweeted, and you're doing some good numbers on that tweet, he hit a three in Philadelphia before Ben Simmons.
Just, two threes just, in Philadelphia before Ben Simmons.
Just the fact. Those are facts. Jordan Clarkson, 20 points in 26 minutes on 16 shots. Got to the line five times, made three free throws, had four boards, two assists as well, just one turnover. I think both, for the most part, both of these guys have been really good this year. I think for me, it's this game, considering, you know, Tristan, I thought, did as well as he could against Embiid. Was finishing inside, was getting just kind of the stuff that he's been good at this year. I think he's clearly just been the MVP of the team this season. And some of that is because he's just been so shockingly good. But I just am so blown away by Tristan every single night we've seen him play, for the most part.
No, I have to been too. I was one of those naysayers who was kind of down on Tristan since he was hurt. Like, I know he statistically had the best season of his career last year, but I'm like, you got to kind of look through this maybe with the glass half empty approach, because he missed a lot of time last year. But he's just been a pleasant surprise every single time he goes out there, and it's just been a lot of fun to watch him play with just so much energy and hustle again. And like, you can tell that he wants to win so bad. And I think it was in a Chris Fedor article that he pointed out that in the past he was never really asked to protect the rim, and now Beeline's asking him, like, hey, I need you to be a bit more of a rim protector for us. You know, all things considered, we don't have any centers in the rotation right now, so that's just a pretty tall task to ask a guy to begin with. And he's stepped up, and like you said, he's a stretch five now. So just his actual trade value, you know, will, if the Cavs want to start talking shop with him, you listen, we have a center who went 2 for 3 tonight from the 3-point line. And you know, I've just heard Ben Simmons is, you know, the second coming of Magic Johnson, and just can't even hit a three in his own hometown. So I don't know what's up with that. But Jordan Clarkson as well. Yeah, I agree with your two MVP picks. Jordan Clarkson's been consistently great. Not great. Good. Good. Good's a better way to put it for the Cavs this year. And he's just been another breath of fresh air as well, because I'll admit I wasn't the biggest Jordan Clarkson fan. But you can get just the general vibe that everyone in the organization loves him. Everyone on the team loves him. He's just an overall good guy. And just to see him go out there and consistently, you know, granted it's a contract year and maybe he's trying to play to audition for a playoff contender or something, but you know, keep at it, man, because you're keeping these games fun, and it's gonna help. It's gonna be mutually beneficial for all parties involved if Cleveland does end up flipping him to a playoff contender if they get a draft pick or some type of compensation for him. So,
yeah, I still like don't think a Jordan Clarkson like extension will make sense come next summer, but like I give him a lot of credit for being just kind of willing to take, you know, kind of just playing within the system a little bit more and doing pretty specific stuff and being really smart with the basketball in a game like this. You know, he's not chucking shots. He's not pulling up for mid-range as much anymore. He's really getting inside. He's picking his spots. He's being patient. Like it's like a different version of the guy that we sort of know. And is Jordan going to be score first all the time? Yeah. But like that juice is kind of there for him, and there, you can have value out of that. Now, is he more valuable if your team's more finished? Yeah. But there's room for a guy that has, I always, even though I haven't like loved a lot of his body of work overall, there's room for a guy in the league like that can just get a bucket. Like you need dudes who can just kind of get a bucket sometimes. Clarkson can do that. Especially right now, like as, you know, they I don't know why you go with him over, you know, maybe it's just seniority trying to get the win with him getting the ball instead of Sexton at the end of the game. You know, Garland obviously is not quite there yet, but like when you are still bringing along these young guards, that's a really, really valuable thing to have. Who is anyone else to you in this game? Did anyone else like stand out, like jump to you? Like, wow, I like how they played. I like something they did. Anything else that really jumps out at you from this one?
I'm still pleasantly impressed with Colin Sexton's just, you know, little by little showing his growth and development. Last game really showed off the ability to score off the ball. You know, obviously he's never going to be the best passer, but he finished with 4 assists tonight, which, you know, it's a little bit of an anomaly for Sexton. But there's just this one play in transition when he was getting trapped by Philadelphia and he made the smart pass to Kevin to just get the easy fast break. I think it was either a layup or a dunk, one of the two. And I was just like, you know, that was just a smart play. And last year there was a lot of times where Colin would just dribble the air out of the ball and just jack up a mid-range deep two. And it's just like, I don't know. People always talk about how some players have like that tenacity to work hard. And again, you roll your eyes so hard, you detach your retinas. And as we all know, in media day, he told me to speak up when asking this question. He told us that, like, listen, I looked at the tape. I know I was terrible defensively last year. He had 2 steals tonight. And he also said, I know I wasn't the best playmaker last year. And he is actively working on it. And I don't know. I think even though he claims he's not transitioning out of the point guard spot, he looks pretty solid in a 2-guard spot. And I just been quietly impressed with just watching the momentum build, and I'm looking forward to saying the same to Darius Garland in the future. But, you know, for now, just watching Sexton continue to flourish and, you know, not plateau, which was a fear of mine coming into this year, is definitely been fun to watch.
Yeah, I think, like, if you just want to take an example of a way Sexton has grown, it's he takes that screen from Embiid. Last year, he dies on that screen. Today, this game, he scrambles. He immediately is like fighting through, trying to do a smart closeout, not commit a foul, but just like make sure his body's in the right position. That's really just like that. There's defense is not all just like purely effort, but like sometimes you need to do the effort stuff. And like when he does that, that's really encouraging. That again, media day was something that he kind of went out of his way to say defense is going to be a thing. I'm looking forward to seeing what his defensive RPM is going to look like when it comes out. In win shares, I mentioned this yesterday, that he is a positive right now, and he's a little bit of a negative in terms of on-off numbers, but I think he's been a lot better. And the 2 steals is something where I think he's going to gamble a little bit and maybe make some mistakes sometimes, but he's going to create some havoc, I think, doing that. The other thing that I liked for him was that he was trying to draw some contact a little bit in this game, and he also went to the floater. His floater is not as natural for him as it is for Garland. Garland sort of has maybe an over-reliance on it, With Sexton, it's like, I'm just going to barrel to the rim and see what happens. And this one, I think being cognizant of Joel Embiid, you see him take a little bit of a pause and try to fling that up a little bit. And then 8 of 18 isn't the most like efficient night in the world. He's still shooting, you know, under 50% from the field and everything. Didn't make a three tonight, which is, you know, kind of a change for him based on what we've seen this season.
Yeah.
But going to that floater is a nice, and trying to get contacts is a nice, if he keeps doing that, especially against teams that have good rim protectors, that's going to be kind of a really interesting thing.
No, I definitely agree. It's been definitely exciting. And I guess just to touch base on what I mentioned before, like, people need to pump the brakes a little bit on Darius Garland here, man. This is me taking a platform now after being silent for so long. So let me take the mic for a second. So about a week or two ago, I wrote, let me give you an official timeline. For Forbes, I talked about Darius Garland just kind of, you know, he's not jumping off the page if you look at the box score, but he's an overall solid player, and I said he had the maturity of a seasoned guard, and I appreciated that, and I think that the sky's the limit for him. I might have the kiss of death or something, because same thing with Jetty, because after Jetty signed his extension, Jetty had a bad game, and I wrote about it, so Darius has just been kind of up and down since then. And I have a nice, just dedicated base of people who love to send me emails of screenshots of the box score saying, another dazzling night for Darius Garland, future All-Star Rookie of the Year. And I haven't responded because that's just Internet 101. And I guess I'm responding now because I'm breaking Internet 101. But, like, let's pump the brakes on the kid a little bit. He played USC in Vanderbilt, but even then, like, take the time on him. Listen, I wasn't very high on the Colin Sexton pick last year. I didn't understand the fit of Darius Garland until I kind of saw him in action. I said, okay, maybe this can work, but, like, people just got to temper their expectations, man, and just leave me alone. Just sorry for being positive. Jeez.
Well, he did sauce Matisse Thybulle.
That's true. And
he did, like, kind of like yin-yang Matisse Thybulle, who's really good, and then finished over Embiid. So, like, he's even when I think he doesn't have, like, a great game, I think he's still doing some positive stuff. And you're right. Like, he played, like, a handful of games in college, and I don't think he's all the way kind of back to where he's going to be at. Let's take one last break, and then we're going to come back just to touch on a few little other things going on with the Cavs right now. So stay tuned for that with more from me and Evan. All right, Evan, we're back. Last thing, last kind of couple things. What is just something that you feel like? Give me like a take you have. We're 10 games into the season now. Give me a take. Just give me a take you somewhat believe in or strongly believe in, whatever. I just want a take.
The good times are coming right now. Appreciate them while they can, because the fall is definitely going to hurt. If you want to look at Cleveland's upcoming schedule, pulling it up as we speak. Peter's being very slow right now.
You got Miami Thursday, Philly again on Sunday. You get the Knicks again next week, the Heat, the Mavs on the road, Portland, Brooklyn, Orlando, Milwaukee, and then you start off December with Detroit. So it's not easy. I mean, you got some teams that are struggling, but you got a lot of good teams in that group.
Yeah, thanks for the assist there. But that's the point I was trying to get at, is just like, it's early in the season, sure, and like these Cavs are going to be a lot of fun to watch, but don't give up the ship on them just yet, because they're probably going to hit a little bit of a stumbling block, because New York's nightlife is undefeated. Miami immediately, 2 days after, their nightlife is undefeated. I don't know what Dallas's nightlife is, but Dallas isn't a bad team. Portland's a good team. They're struggling right now. Brooklyn's a solid team, but they're getting the Kyrie Irving experience right now. Orlando's a good team. Milwaukee's a good team. Detroit, Blake Griffin's back. We'll see where they're at by the time December rolls around. It's going to be a little bit of a bumpier stretch going forward. Even before that, Miami and Philadelphia, both good teams. Just don't give up on them. It's going to be, you know, a lot of the good vibes we're getting from this team now. Like, we're going to see a little bit of the stumbling. We're actually going to probably see our first Kevin Love load management game, either against Philly or New York on November 17th or 18th. So that's like my strong feeling right now is just, we all know Justin Rowan at this point. He's the king of Cavs Twitter. And
Don't give Justin a good title. He's the court jester of Cavs Twitter.
Well, I met his wife, and I know who the pecking order is in that household.
Yeah, Justin's wife runs everything there, and Justin is not the king of Cavs Twitter.
Okay, fair enough.
Carter's like too busy to do anything.
He's with his wife is with child, as we know.
Yes.
Justin is always like, he always tells me, he's like, yeah, you're such a positive guy and like you're realistic. I'm like, or you're always so optimistic. I'm like, no, I'm just more realistic. Like I'm having fun watching a really well-coached team. And like we talked about earlier, like the Cavs are in every single one of these games for the most part, unless they're blowing a team out like they did in New York the other night. But it's going to be a rough stretch going forward for a little bit, and it's probably not going to get easier, and it's going to be the first time you see adversity with this team. And so just don't try and burn the house down or don't put the cart before the horse at this point, because like to quote former Cavs championship coach Ty Lue, it's not about wins and losses, it's about wins and lessons at this point. So
yeah, I think that's right. I would just say my thing kind of comes from this game. I'm a little worried about the size of the team, just in terms of they're not always going to play like really big teams per se, but you just look at, I think one of the reasons Philly was able to, you know, win this game, despite, you know, only making 8 3-pointers on 38 attempts, only taking 13 free throws, is like they had a big size advantage. Joel Embiid could get basically any shot he wanted. You know, Kevin's having to defend some bigger guys at times. He had to defend Embiid one-on-one a decent amount. I think all obviously the guards, you know, except for Sexton a little bit, are a little frail. They're just a little small because they're like 19 years old and haven't like put on that muscle. They haven't had their muscle watch summer yet. So I like wonder how that's going to hold up. And I wonder too, how much is the team is going to be incorporating pieces back in soon? I don't know, like, we're getting close to the time where three guys that are hurt, Ante Zizic, who I don't think is going to play that much, or if at all, Dylan Windler, who I expect to play, and John Henson, who the Cavs certainly talk about even now, like he's going to play and did play when he first came back from the stuff that plagued him in camp. They're going to incorporate these new guys. That's going to cut minutes for certain guys. There's going to be some in and outs a little bit. I think just by nature of like incorporating some pieces that you want to see what they can do with, especially Dylan Windler, who I know John Beilein loves, that's going to cause some stuff to look a little wonky, I think, at times. And I think people just need to be braced for that a little bit. Maybe you don't see Kevin Porter Jr. as much one night. I think Delly kind of has like his niche, but maybe like they try to play without him, even though I know John Beilein really values that veteran presence on that second unit, especially. I don't think he wants to just run Clarkson out there with a bunch of young guys. He's kind of got a structure in mind. That structure sort of has an identity right now. It's going to get tinkered with, and I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it's like you said, the Cavs are going to finally be getting healthy again. Zizek will get minutes while Henson is still on the mend. God, it stinks, man. When they formally announced that he was injured again, I just said, like, that's just rough luck, because it kind of hurts Tristan. I mean, Tristan's balling out, don't get me wrong, but Kevin's not the biggest fan of playing center, and he, you know, reluctantly will accept the fact that he might have to, and that's fine. But, you know, I personally would prefer if the Cavs didn't have to put their highest paid in all-star caliber player in a position he's not comfortable with, because it's going to risk for injury at that point. So just having a body like Zizek is back is great. And then incorporating Windler will be definitely interesting to see. I think the Cavs are taking a little bit of a cautious approach with him, which is fine. Even stress fractures are scary in your leg, and you got to make sure you protect your assets as much as you can. But like you said, I don't think we'll see Kevin Porter as much. That'll probably eat his minutes a little bit. It'll definitely eat into Jordan Clarkson playing the wolf or small forward for non-Cleveland fans. That'll get eaten into as well. And it'll definitely be interesting for sure to see how they kind of roll out all these guys, because I've got the impression at this point that all the young guys expect to play. And then, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised with how the veterans are handling not playing. Like, the question going into camp was, who's it going to be, Dellavedova or Knight? And unless, you know, he was away for personal reasons, it's been Delly. So, and like you said, like, maybe eventually, like, Bayline does value Delly as that veteran off the bench, but he has pointed out to people in the media and just anyone who's willing to listen that he's not 100% done watching Jordan Clarkson's game develop, and he's trying to encourage Jordan more as a playmaker. And, you know, I'll see it when I believe it on a more consistent basis. But if Bayline has more faith in using Jordan Clarkson as the primary point guard off the bench, so be it, if he's going to the youth movement route. But yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. It's definitely going to be interesting when they start incorporating all these bodies back into the rotation, though, for sure.
Cavs are back in action on Thursday against the Miami Heat. I'll have a show up as well as some words, I think, this week. I'm going to do that writing thing at some point ahead of that Thursday game. Evan, I just want to ask, as we get out of here, one last question. Are you who is going to give you the gummy that is going to cause you to miss that game?
The game against the Heat? You know...
Did Justin give you something while he was here on his plane?
You know what? I ain't no snitch. That's what I'm going to say. I ain't no snitch. So,
word to Dan Waiters, forever a real one. Kind of bumped. I'm not going to get to see him in action on Thursday. But that's going to be it. Evan, just give everyone a plug where they can find your stuff.
You can find me on Twitter at amnotevan. My avatar is a caricature of myself drawn by a friend, and they shrunk my face on purpose to make me look better. So definitely it sticks out. I try not to live tweet as much during the games, but sometimes the fan in me gets a little excited and I'll say something, or, you know, point out that Ben Simmons still hasn't hit a three at home while Tristan Thompson hit two before him, because the preseason doesn't count. And so, yeah, no, you can find me on Twitter, but you can also find me on Forbes. I usually am up on there once or twice a week. And then I'm also on Fear the Sword as well, whenever Chris wants me to do something, or whenever, I need to spout off a hot take that, you know, Chris would encourage for me to spout off. So
I'm pro take.
Yeah.
This is a pro take economy. This has been Locked On Cavs for Wednesday, November 13th. Thanks again to Evan for coming on. I'll be back tomorrow. Trevor Magnani going to talk a little draft, 2020 draft a little early, and David Ramil from Locked On Heat to talk about all things Miami. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks again, Evan, and talk to you then.